One reason why is it's not our hearts so much. I believe every person here has a heart to help people. I know that. One reason why is because we oftentimes let other people do it. It's why we form boards for nonprofits. They can handle particular issues better than we could. It's why we give contributions. Maybe you do that personally. We do it at church, actually in amazing fashion. We give to such things as Philomath Community Services. We give to Friends of the Family. We give to Zion Lutheran School. We give to the Northwest District. We give to We Care. The list goes on. It's even more exhaustive than that. Personally, we pay our taxes that go to social assistance programs so that people can get help. Now, I want to make sure that you're not taking away what you might be thinking I'm saying. It's good to do those things. We should do them. Absolutely. In fact, we should pray for the agencies and pray for those people that interact with these people in need. But you see what's happened? This happened in the 18th century. Christians love to form agencies. You see what it's done? It's removed us from the actual hurts and problems that people are experiencing. We don't read of agencies in the Gospels. And again, we should give to agencies. But you see what's happening with Jesus? As he goes into Jericho in John chapter 9 and he sees blind Bartimaeus, he doesn't say, let's go to the Jericho advocacy for the blind and see if they've got a five-step process for a blind old Bartimaeus. No, he helps him in his moment of need. He's right next to him. How about in Bethany? Jesus doesn't go to the Bethany Benevolent Club and say, hey, can you guys come up with maybe five steps for Lazarus to solve his problem here? Jesus and the early followers were so connected with needs. It was just right in front of them. And we kind of struggle with that because we're kind of removed. We're a step back, so to speak. This is a challenge. How are we going to remain connected like Acts chapter 4? Here's another challenge in our day and time. The other challenge that I was going to name, now it's fleeing from my head. Oh my goodness, just give me a second and I'll grab it again. The other challenge that we oftentimes have is we like to be connected with people, but because we're so isolated, we don't really get to know what their needs actually are. Let me give you some examples. I live in a house. That's a good thing. There are walls that are up. My neighbors don't know what I'm saying. They don't know what I'm experiencing. I'm kind of glad they don't know. I like privacy. That's a good thing. But you see, my neighbors really don't know my needs. I drive a car that's kind of an enclosed space. No one can hear what I'm saying on the phone. No one can hear what I'm singing to, you know, what I'm singing to on the radio. I kind of like that. I'd be embarrassed if everyone knew what that was. We go to work and we go to school and we interact with people. We stay focused to the task. And we kind of train people not to share anything. We have a phrase for this. What is it? Too much information, TMI. We have phones that are supposed to connect us and give us all sorts of information about people. Bogus. You're going to tell me we can get to know someone by reading their profile for 15 seconds and seeing their vacation pictures from maybe 2 months ago? We don't know each other. We don't know the hurts and the pains that are out there. We're isolated. By the way, that's Satan's main strategy. Is to isolate, to keep us separated, to keep us from moments where we can grab hands and be connected. By the way, it's really good to be connected with other people. It's healthy for us. A study came out but it was based on an 80-year study. The book is called The Good Life by Robert Waldinger. It came out in January 2023. It put together the research of 80 years. I'm not sure how the research was done, but this is well recognized across circles. They were discovering what makes a person happy. They discovered what makes a person happy is not achievement or wealth. You know what the number one reason for someone to have a happy and long life is? Just came out last year. Relationships. In fact, one indication said how many relationships you had at age 50 was a great predictor for how long you'd live. Wow. We struggle with this today. Last week in my Easter sermon, I mentioned, let the resurrection change your mind. Let it change your heart. Let it change your purpose. And today I'd like to suggest one more. Let the resurrection of Jesus change your relationships. Thomas and Jesus were so separated, removed from each other in an enormous way. Jesus had died. Thomas was alive. They were separated by time and space. Jesus and Thomas were separated in mind and thought. See, Jesus told the women to go tell the disciples that he'd meet them in Galilee. And we can assume the women had made it there as preparation for what we read here in John chapter 20. So the women had told the disciples, hey, Jesus is going to come. Where is Thomas? Where is he?